So as we get to know each other here first, let's start with some facts about people. Fact number one, there really is nothing more difficult on the planet than another person. Nothing. If you can find something, let me know. But I think the complexity of another person becomes one of the biggest challenges for us, which is why relationships can be so difficult. People are hard, especially another person with whom we are in love or in relationship. I think it's because people offer a kind of complexity that no other animal, no other object does. People will many times say, well, I think I can handle this person. I can predict what he or she's going to do. I imagine myself being able to get through this conversation without trouble. I imagine being able to bring this up without a fight. And then the person goes live with that other person, and it's quite different. That's because we can't really count on the complexity of the interaction that goes on between two people. I often tell people who say, well, I don't have this problem with my kids, or, you know, I love my pets. And I will say, well, you know, pets are easy, partners are hard. Kids are easy, although they're not really, but relatively, kids are easy, but partners are really hard. Now on to fact number two. For those of you who wondered whether people should be annoying or not, I'm going to tell you that all people are, by nature, annoying. There's no getting around that. This isn't to say that we don't want to be around people, we need people, but ultimately people are irritating. And this has to do with different minds. Different minds having different ideas, feelings, intentions, goals. So when we live with somebody, when we are in a primary attachment relationship with someone, we're going to find them at some point annoying, and they're going to find us annoying too. This is the old, you're not screwing the cap on the toothpaste thing, or you're not putting things away, or washing the dishes, or you're throwing things on the floor, that kind of annoying. But there's many other kinds of annoying too, which we'll cover as we get further on in the program. But I just want you to understand that all people are annoying. Fact number three, there is no such thing as a low maintenance person, up close in particular. A lot of people look for low maintenance people. And this is what affairs are about often. People may look low maintenance from across the room, from afar, spend some time with them, marry them, and they are no longer low maintenance. I love how people will say to me, you know, I don't have any problem with my coworkers or my colleagues or my siblings. I don't have any problem with my friends, but I do with my partner. And my response or what I want to say to them is, well, go marry one of these other people and then come back and tell me, you know, how good it is. Because up close, in a committed relationship, people are high maintenance. Now, someone may be more low maintenance than another, but that person over time will not stay that way because there's aging and health problems and depression and other things that come about that will make that person higher maintenance. So let's just say that there's no such thing as a low maintenance person. Fact number four. Romantic relationships or primary attachment relationships are burdensome. They just are. There is no way around that. Again, when we're with somebody and we are depending on that person and they're depending upon us in ways that we'll cover later on, explain why that is such a big deal, people become burdens. We become burdens. And I think if we accept this right now, it makes relationships much easier. We might even change our vows if some of you are going to get married to I take you as my pain in the ass, and you take me as your pain in the ass. And that's the quid pro quo. We are going to do things for each other that really nobody wants to do. They don't want to do it because it's a little like child rearing. It is taking care of each other. And that's a burden. We'll talk later about certain types that don't want to be a burden and don't want burdens. But the fact is, if you take somebody as your primary attachment partner, they are going to be a burden, and so are you. Fact number 5. In love relationships, nobody comes pre-trained. Now, you may already know this, but there are some people who really get very disappointed that their partner doesn't know this already or know that already, as if they didn't go to the school for love relationships prior to the marriage or this relationship. Nobody comes pre-trained. We don't have that book. And so partners need to train each other. As we're going to find out later, they need to have each other's owner's manual. They need to know how the other person works. And they know how to work the other person also in the best possible way. And in this game, not ourselves so much, but each other. And I'll explain more how that works. Fact number 6. The need to be parented really never ends. And this surprises a lot of people. Many partners expect that they themselves should be fully parented, that parenting is complete, that their partner should be fully parented and parenting is complete. But this is just not true. Parenting is never fully complete. We continue to parent each other through life, at least in our primary attachment relationships. And that's one of our jobs. It's one of the reasons we get paid the big bucks as partners. Remember, I said romantic partnerships are burdensome. This is why we do it, because we take on certain challenges, certain jobs, certain tasks that other people wouldn't do. One of them is to parent each other. So that continues in primary love relationships. People shouldn't be surprised about that. Fact number 7. Romantic partners are responsible for each other's past. Now, when we form primary attachment relationships, when we get married, when we are in a committed relationship, we tend to inherit the other person's past, our partner's past. That's because in primary attachment relationships, partners become proxies for everybody that came before. So one partner can't really say, you know, don't project on me because that's your ex-wife or that's your ex-husband or that's your father or that's your mother. And there's a problem with that because the question then comes up, well, then who should one project onto? Do you outsource that and pay a therapist to do that? I suppose you could, but partners are naturally projected upon because in terms of our memory systems, those people who were responsible for hurting us are no longer around. But guess what? You're here. And since we are proxies for everybody who came before, it makes sense that we just take care of it. So rather than to say, I didn't do that, take responsibility for that pain yourself, I can simply say, I'm sorry. Fact number 8. Most of the time, we don't really know what we're doing or why. Now, this is really important. This is because of the way the brain operates. We have an automatic brain that is operating over 90% of the time, doing most of our tasks. It's really brilliant, actually, that we have this capacity. We don't have to think about what we're doing most of the time because that information, that process, is stored in what's called procedural memory. We've been there, done that. We don't have to think about it very much. Now, that has advantages. It gets us from point A to point B without having to think much. It allows us to do certain things on a daily basis without having to use a lot of resources because we've done that before. Our brain knows how to do it, and we just do it automatically. But this becomes a problem in relationship because this automatic brain operates almost entirely by memory. And so in the social-emotional realm of relationship, we are acting and reacting so very fast that much of the time we don't really know what we're saying, what we're doing, or why we're doing it. Now, if we are in trouble and we have to explain ourselves, that brings us to fact number 9. What we don't know, we make up. This has to do with the confabulatory part of our brain that has nothing really better to do than to explain why we do things. Now, again, we don't really know why we've done it because it's happening too fast for us to think, to be aware, to even speak the truth about what it is. We don't know what the truth is. And so forgive us if we have to make it up very quickly. So we have a lot of people in relationships having the wrong idea about why they do things or why their partner does things. And they're doing this because they have to come up with a reason. The brain does not like a vacuum, does not like not knowing. And so these answers are often really just made up. Fact number 10. Our brains are built more for war and less so for love. Now, there's an evolutionary reason for this. We have parts of our brain that are specialized for picking up nothing but threat and danger in the environment. That's how we've stayed alive. That's how we have survived as a species. So we're very good at that. We're very good at picking up dangerous sounds, faces, movements, postures, gestures, contexts. We're also very good at picking up dangerous words and phrases. And remember that the very fast part of our brain, the brain that's operating most of the time automatically without our permission, is also involved in picking up threat cues from the environment. That means we're doing this very fast, and much of the time we don't even know when we're behaving in a threatening way or when we are picking up threat from another person. This part of the brain is acting much faster in appraising situations, much faster than we consciously know. And it's certainly much faster than we can talk about it. So this is where couples get into a lot of trouble. They don't appreciate how easy it is to be threatening. Anybody can be threatening, no matter whether you love that person, whether you're best friends. You can still be threatening without meaning to be so. And because our brains are built more for war than for love, we're going to pick up more threat than we are friendliness. In addition to what I've just said about our brains being built for war, it's also important to know that our memory system is tweaked in such a way as to pick up negative experience more than positive experiences. So when you hurt my feelings by saying something that is painful, hurtful, dangerous, threatening word, threatening phrase, or you roll your eyes at me, or you do something that is unfriendly, I'm more likely to remember that than something you do that is friendly. That's just very important to remember, that we are quick to form negative memories and not as quick to form positive memories. Fact number 11. In order to succeed and fully thrive in the world, we need to be tethered to at least one other person. This is something I think a lot of people in our culture don't understand. We live in a culture that believes in autonomy, in not needing anybody, do-it-yourself person, and this ultimately becomes our undoing. Life becomes harder as we get older. The world is not a safe place. Things happen to us, things that we can't really plan on, but we know they're going to happen. And how do we get through that? Well, we can get through that by getting into addictions, substance addictions, or behavioral addictions, things that will change our state, change our chemistry so that we feel better, at least for the moment. Or we can use relationships. Relationships are like drugs, are like medications. Relationships change our chemistry, change the way we feel, change the way we think. And this idea of feeling tethered to at least one other person, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we might begin to think of the ultimate medication for depression and anxiety. How do we get through life? We get through life by being connected to somebody, somebody for whom we can run to at any time, a secure base.